Be in fine Proverbs chapter 1 tonight, if you would. The book of Proverbs, first chapter. Several months ago, we began a little study through the book of Proverbs. Been out of it really for most of December, but we'll get back into it now. Portraits in Proverbs, looking at character sketches just in the book of Proverbs. There are several ways to go through the book. I know some preachers who have preached through the book verse by verse. In fact, I've got several preachers that I listen to quite often that have sermon series on Proverbs, preached through it verse by verse. And what I have found is it becomes very repetitious. When you deal with the fool in one verse and then in a couple of chapters you deal with the fool again, after a while, there's not a whole lot left to say about the fool. And so it becomes repetitious is what it does. And for that reason, I've not attempted to preach through it, but I've identified about 15 or 16 different characters, different portraits in the book. And we dealt with the simple man. We've dealt with the sluggard. And tonight, I'll deal with one, and I'm looking for Ben. Ben, sitting on my laptop right now is a draft of an email to you with the outline for tonight. But it's a draft. I never hit send, and I just realized that. So don't worry about putting it on the screen tonight. I'll send it to you after the service, though, if you want the outline. So I just realized that. Oh, well. It's been one of those days. So tonight we will deal with a character. It's not very exciting. This is not the most exciting, but it'll probably be the most helpful, especially to our young people. And I don't know that we have any of these. We probably have a couple of these in here. So this won't apply to everybody except the warning to stay away. But tonight I want to talk to you about the scorner. The scorner. Well, the Bible has to say about a scorner. Proverbs 1 verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. One of the more telling marks of a man's character is how he responds to rebuke or reproof. Now, if reproof is warranted and it comes from a reputable person, then a wise person, though it may hurt, will receive it gladly and use that to improve his conduct. If the person does not accept the reproof and continues in his misconduct, the Bible labels that person as a fool. However, when the fool goes beyond disregarding the reproof and begins to ridicule the reproof, he's then called a scorner. All scorners are fools, though not all fools are scorners. The Bible has three words that is used for that interchangeably: scorner, scoffer, and just a couple of times do you find the word mocker. And the words are used interchangeably in the Bible. It depicts a man who either despises or laughs at instruction and correction. He despises the commandments of the Bible. He despises the instruction of authorities. He despises the wisdom of God. And he expresses his negative opinion of such wisdom by scorn, mockery, scoffing, making fun of. And in so doing, he exposes himself as the greatest of all fools. Now, in order for you and I to get a picture of the character of such a man, the Bible gives you some examples of such scoffing, such scorning in the Bible. In 2 Kings chapter 2, there is a story about some children who come out to see Elijah and they mock him as a bald-headed man. 2 Kings 2 and verse 23, he went up thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up, by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. Now, no doubt they are only reflecting the attitude toward the man of God that they have heard and seen in their parents. And when they couldn't find anything in his life to mock, they mocked his physical appearance. That's awfully small and childish, isn't it? Then you have in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 2, where Nehemiah is going to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and there are three men who are his antagonists there. And these three men, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, they mocked. And it says, when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you will do where you rebel against the king? By the way, no noble work has ever gone on without the criticism and the scorn of some hater on the sideline. In 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 30, Hezekiah became the king, and his first act is to reinstate the Passover, which the nation of Israel had neglected for many years. And so he sent messengers to all the tribes, and we're going to have this special day. And so all these messengers go throughout all of the kingdom, and they're saying, hey, we're going to come together. We're going to have this Passover. We're going to reinstate it. And the Bible says, so the post moved from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, but they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. The message was, we need to repent as a nation, and we need to turn back to God, lest He be angry and He punish us. But the messengers of judgment are often met with scorn and laughter. Well, that's even today, isn't it? In 2 Chronicles 36, it describes the last days of Israel as Nebuchadnezzar is coming to lay siege against the city. The nation is literally on the brink of devastation. And God has prophets that are going out throughout the land, and they are warning them at the last hour. And the Bible says that the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by His messengers, rising up betimes, sent Him because He had compassion on His people and on His dwelling place, but they mocked the messengers of God and despised His words. If you watch the news in the last couple of days, it seems like that our nation has been on the brink of war with Iran. It looks like that's averted. I don't know of anybody that wants to go to war with Iran. But I believe that if a nation was attacking our nation, let's just suppose in the wildest hypothetical that Iran had a nuclear weapon and that they were able to reach us and that our nation was attacked with something devastating like that, and preachers went on the airwaves and began to preach that God wants you to... Those messengers would be even met today with mockery and scorn. But being indifferent. So the Bible gives you some examples of men who are scorners. In the Bible, we find men cast scorn at the godly. Psalm 123 and verse 4, our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. There are those who scorn the doctrine of the resurrection, Acts 17, when they had heard of the resurrection of the dead. Some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. Some mock the doctrine of the second coming, 2 Peter 3, knowing this first, that there should come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of His coming? They're still out there, by the way. So the Bible has a lot to say about the scorner. In the book of Proverbs, two things. First of all, the resume of the scorner. What is the character of a scorner in the book of Proverbs? The first is that he delights in scorning. Look at our verse in verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning? Now, we already know what the simple is. The simple is the inexperienced or the ignorant person. It is somebody who is easily influenced. It is somebody who is spiritually immature. But in the context of this verse, the simple one is willingly so. He loves his simplicity. He doesn't want to be corrected. He doesn't want to be taught. He doesn't want to grow up and become responsible. He's not simple because he doesn't have the responsibility to learn, because he doesn't have somebody to mentor him or somebody to teach him. No, he is simple. He is simple because that's what he wants to be. In fact, in the verse, wisdom is calling. Wisdom is calling to the simple one to come and to learn. But if he heeds wisdom's call, then he has to become responsible and mature. He loves his simplicity, and so he tries to hide behind his ignorance and his immaturity, but wisdom is calling for him to grow up. By the way, that's what wisdom is calling to our young people. I don't know if it's just me or if it is truly our generation, But it seems like that more and more of the younger generation falls into the category of just wanting to continue on in youthful play and games, and let's delay growing up and becoming a mature adult till sometime down the road. Maybe it's just me getting older. Maybe it's just, you know, and the older you get, the less patience you have. Maybe that's me. But it seems like that a lot of young men just want to play games for as long as they can. It seems that in days gone by, that boys grew up quicker and matured into men faster than today. But of course, life used to be harder. Life used to expect more out of you than now. And it's hard to develop and mature when life consists of Xbox and fantasy football. It's just not preaching on that, but it was there. Now, there's nothing wrong with being simple. It's a phase that everybody goes through, but don't be content to stay there. And a simple person learns by the examples of others and the experiences of life. And a simple person who refuses to learn becomes a fool. But then the next progression is to become a scorner. The fool is more advanced in that he doesn't just ignore the call of wisdom, he despises the call of wisdom. The simple doesn't want to hear. The scorner says, I don't need to hear. Wisdom is foolishness. It is something for me to laugh at. It is something for me to mock. He covers his disgust of wisdom with ridicule. You know, when a person is confronted with rebuke or instruction, you can do one of three things with it. One, you can accept it, learn from it, change your life by it. But that takes a lot of grace and humility right there. The second thing is maybe you argue against it. You reject it and you refuse to be changed by it. Now, you can reject it because the person may be just totally wrong. And you know, maybe you're wiser than the person that is rebuking you. Maybe it's not good advice. Maybe it's not a better way. But you can accept it, you can reject it, or you can ridicule it. That is when you know that the instruction is right, you know that your way is wrong, but you're too stubborn and you're too obstinate to change. There are some people that you witness to, and they would graciously reject the gospel. They would tell you that they're already a Christian. They tell you about all the things, but they're kind. There are other people you give a gospel tract, and they'll spit in your face, they'll crumple it up, and they'll throw it on the ground. They're a scorner is what they are. That there are some young people who would be humbled and saddened by rebuke because they have that disposition about them. And really, when you discipline that child, it's not so much the physical punishment that breaks their heart, but that you had to do that. That's how they're made up. But there are others who openly scorn the rebuke. That's the greatest of fools because he delights in his scorning. The second characteristic, look at chapter 14. Chapter 14 and verse 6, not only does he delight in scorning, but he is unable to find wisdom. Chapter 14 and verse 6, a scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. But knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. There is no reasoning with a scorner. Now later on you'll find out that the response to a scorner is to leave them alone to their folly and the judgment. But when a person mocks and derides the truth, that person is shut off from wisdom. It is not that he lacks mental capacity, but it is impossible to teach someone who already knows everything. Because you see, all learning, all teaching has to have three components. There has to be a truth to be taught. There is a teacher to impart the truth. There is a receptive mind to hear the truth. And without those three components, there is no teaching. But the scorner is wise in his own conceit, so he misses the truth that other people understand. That's why you and I can look at that person and say, man, they don't get it. Why don't they understand? It goes over their head. I can look at this and say, this is a foolish decision. They're unable to find wisdom. Their arrogance blinds them to their ignorance. They know everything except for how little they truly know. And the scorner never says, I am wrong. Never expresses regret. Never is open to correction. Unable to find wisdom. That's why the Bible says, answer not a fool according to his folly. Don't you know there are some people you can't talk to? There are some people you cannot reason with. I would like to think that my powers of persuasion are strong enough that I should be able to sit down with anybody I know what is the right way. I should be able to sit down and speak reason to anybody, and they see it, and their eyes are open, and the light bulb comes on, and say, oh, Pastor, what great wisdom. Can I use you as an illustration? Yes, you. Jaden said one of the most profound things the other day to his dad, but one of the funniest things. Now, Jaden has sat here and he's listened to my preaching for I don't know how many times, long time. So Brother Eric called me the other day, and Jaden was in the car, and he said, I'm on speakerphone with Jaden. He said, I have a question about the situation. He asked me a question, and I said, all right, here's how I would do this. This is what I would do. This is my advice. So we talked about it a little bit. Jaden is listening in on the conversation. Never entered into the conversation, but he's listening in on it. And sometime later, Brother Eric asks Jaden, so Jaden, what did you think about pastor's advice? And Jaden, the teenager who has sat in this church forever, he said, you know, pastor is really wise. I'm so glad he finally caught on. I think he was surprised. I think that was the thing about it. Just, you know, where did that come from? Huh? There are some people you can't reason with. You're spitting in the wind. Not Jaden. There's other people. You are spitting in the wind to try to reason and logic a problem out. He can't come to the truth because he doesn't recognize his need for it. One man sees the lessons in life's experiences, they pass right over another man. Another man thanks you for giving him constructive criticism. The other man immediately takes offense and is offended at it. He's unable to find wisdom. There's a third mark of the scorner. It's found in chapter 13 and verse 1. Not only is he unable to find wisdom, but he refuses to learn from rebuke. Look at chapter 13 and verse 1. A wise man heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Now, a lot of Proverbs is written from the perspective of a father to son. I think 23 times you find the phrase, my son, my son, my son. And all of you parents know that we want to pass our wisdom on to our children, and we want them to listen not just with their ears, but with their hearts. And a godly parent may not be perfect. No parent in here is. But you do want the best for your children, and you will only pass on what you believe will help them. I've never intentionally tried to hurt my children. I've never intentionally tried to lead my children astray. But what I recognize is that I have learned so much from experience. I know a whole lot more at 50 than I did at 16. I've learned so much more from experience that they cannot possibly know. If they listen, I'll shelter them from a lot of troubles that I see that they cannot see. You see, every parent was once a child. Every parent was once a teenager, and I know the temptations, I know the troubles, I know the pressures, and I can save them a lot of trouble. Here's the problem. The scorner will not hear rebuke. He refuses to be told that he's wrong. He will go so far as to make an enemy out of someone who dare point out his faults. What pride does is pride causes you to accept praise too readily and refuse correction too quickly. It takes a healthy dose of humility to not be flattered by someone else's praise and not be offended by someone else's rebuke. Proverbs 5 and verse 12, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers and inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. Look at chapter 5, if you would. Chapter 5, look at it. Chapter 15 and verse 12. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him. Boy, just think about that. A scorner loveth not. By the way, in chapter 15, if you look at verse 5, it emphasizes a child who hates his father's instructions. A fool despises his father's instruction. If you look at verse number 10, it emphasizes the end of that person. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. He that hateth reproof shall die. Verse 12 emphasizes the attitude of that person. He loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. We're not told why the person is being reproved. But it could be being reproved because he's a scorner. He could have other issues, but arrogant and cocky, contemptible people usually do have other issues. The attitude is that, boy, you just read that. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. If you have a loud-mouthed, arrogant, cocky child, that's probably not his only problem. Let me give you a fourth characteristic of the scorner. He's driven by pride and haughtiness. Look at Proverbs 21, verse 24. And I knew going into this, I thought, Lord, this is going to be so heavy and so depressing and dark. But boy, it's so necessary. Proverbs 21 and verse 24. Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. You can sum it all up in this. He is proud. And pride is never presented in a positive light in the Bible. It's the original sin of Lucifer in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 and 14. All pride is a manifestation of an evil heart is what it is. It causes a man to be presumptuous in his sin. It causes him to be arrogant in his attitude toward others. It causes a man to show lack of respect toward authorities. It causes a man to be vain and conceited in his view of himself. If you were to come to me and to point out a flaw in my life, and I have many of them, you will know more about me by my reaction than by the flaw itself. Now, maybe you come to me, and it's happened, maybe somebody comes to me, and what you see is just absolutely absurd. And I know that you're wrong. Well, I still don't have to get offended at that. But if you come to me and you point out a flaw, a weak area of my life, I tell you that my reaction is going to tell you something about my character. And if I get offended because you dare try to help me, that is the pride of my heart. If you could get rid of pride, you would never get offended. And some people stay in a potential state of offense. It's like your security blanket. It's your automatic mechanism. You're offended all the time at something or somebody. Yeah. And what some people do now that you have social media, you can get on Facebook and you can post it on there in a cryptic way. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Everybody knows that there are people in this church that you better treat with kids' gloves. Beat around the bush. Handle them softly. Come on, talk to me. Yeah. There are other people that you can walk up and say, hey man, you got a booger in your nose and you ought to get it out. And they won't get mad. Well, there are other people, you just tiptoe around, and usually you just avoid them and just let them go along their merry way and just sit back and watch the train crash. Because they're going to get offended. Well, chapter 9 and verse 12, and look at the verse. This is great advice for a young person. It really is. Proverbs 9 and verse 12, if thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear. If you get wisdom, it's good for you. For you. Your parents trying to correct your ways is not them trying to make their life easier. It's trying to make your life easier, what's trying to do. Somebody steps on your toes and offends you. It's not because they're trying to help them. No, they're trying to help you. Trying to help you. So if you get wisdom, it's good for thyself. It's good for you. But if thou scornest, if you don't want to, then you're going to have to bear the consequences. That's the resume of a scorner. But secondly in the book of Proverbs, there's the reproof of the scorner. What happens to a scorner? Look at chapter 24, verse 9. I'll give it to you quickly. The first thing is that he becomes an abomination to men. Proverbs 24 and verse 9, the thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. You know, in Psalm 1, and we won't go there because we say in Proverbs, but in Psalm 1, the first chapter, the first Psalms gives you the path to blessedness in the very first verse. And it's interesting that the path to blessedness is set in a negative tone. It is not in what you do, it's not in what you have, it is in who you avoid. That's the path to blessing. If you would be blessed, here's the first thing you have to do, stay away from some people. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. If you are to have a blessed life, you have to learn to shut some people out of your life. Everybody has counsel for you, and not all of it is good. Right? Right? And so the first secret to blessedness is to learn who not to listen to. Here's the thing about the ungodly. They have counsel. They have counsel for you. At school, at the work, they have got counsel for you, and they are convinced that their way is right, and they are very evangelistic about it. They are very aggressive about it, and they're not going to be content for you just to ignore their counsel. No, you're going to accept my counsel, or you're not going to be my friend. That's how the world is. They have got counsel for every one of your young people. But the first step of blessedness is who not to listen to. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. The word way refers to a lifestyle. It is just the way that the ungodly are. Let the wicked forsake his ways, his lifestyle. That's just the way that he lives. To stand somewhere is to place yourself in a place of identification. If you stood where I stand, then you would understand. Right? So don't stand in the way of the sinner. You refuse to be identified with the course of life that the world is living, and you don't accept the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Seat refers more than just sitting down. Seat refers to authority. It is not that you are sitting next to the scorner, but you are sitting in the seat of the scorner. You have become the scorner who sits in judgment against the Word of God. The scorner is an abomination to men. Look at chapter 29, Proverbs 29 and verse 8. Scornful men bring a city into a snare. But wise men turn away wrath. The scorner is a danger to himself, and he's a danger to his community. Whether that community is a church, whether that danger is a city, whether that danger is a job, whether that danger is the school, the snare that he brings upon himself will spread skepticism and conceit to others, to those who are inexperienced and those who are immature. I think the first recorded instance of scorn in the Bible, though the word is not used, has to be the serpent. Questioning God's word to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Yea, hath God said. And it brought a snare. Brought a snare is what it did. They prey on weaker minded believers. Brings a snare to the city. As many of our young people that have sat in a good church, listened to Bible preaching, had every advantage, but they made friends with some kid that secretly kind of laughs at the standards, mocks the authorities. Too sweet to do it out open, too smart for that, but behind the scenes. And that person's a scorner. I'm going to tell you something, young person. That person's a snare to you. That person is a snare to you. They can bring a city into a snare. They can bring a church into a snare. Let one person get their wires crossed, get offended, get upset, get on Facebook, post all kinds of foolishness. I'm going to tell you something. That can be a snare to a church. So what do you do? What do you do? Well, look at chapter 22. They're an abomination to men. Here's the second thing about the scorner, is they must be dealt with severely. Look at Proverbs 22 and verse 10. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Boy, that's harsh, isn't it? And we're not totally sure how to apply it in every situation, but at what point do you quit talking and trying to help them, and at what point do you just wipe your hands of them? And how violently do you cast out that? To cast out it implies some sort of contention, some force in removing them. So how far exactly are you to take that? Well, the point is that when a person openly mocks and despises instruction and reproof and shows that they have a stubborn and obstinate heart and will not listen, you are better to let them go and leave them to themselves. There are some times that a church has to do that. Scorners sitting in a pew will destroy a church. Many young people have made friends with a scorner. That person became an abomination to them. Look at chapter 9 and verse number 7. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. He that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, he will love thee. The way to answer a scorner is not to answer him. Without a humble heart, he'll not hear you. The most likely outcome is contention and the making of an enemy. It's an abomination to men. He must be dealt with severely. Here's the third thing. The scorner is a lesson to others watching. Look at chapter 19. Chapter 19 and verse 25. Smite a scorner and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding and he will understand knowledge. If you deal harshly with a scorner, that person probably will not learn any lessons. But somebody watching will. It will have a deterring effect, just not on the scorner. It may not cure the scorner. It'll prevent others from being a scorner. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 20, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. Look at chapter 21 and verse 11. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. The scorner doesn't benefit, but somebody will. So go watch that proud and haughty man that hates wisdom and hates God and is a hothead. And you can't tell him anything. And you watch the trouble that he's in and learn something. One verse and I'm done. Chapter 3, verse 34. Look at verse 33. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. But it blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he, God, scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. Even God turns against the scorner. When the scorner acts contemptuously against God, God acts in contempt against him. But if you will humble yourself, God will give you grace. And really all of these verses come back to the same thought, and it is this. Your pride will cause you nothing but trouble. It's all it'll cause you. It'll cause you trouble. And the worst pride in all the world is when you refuse to hear rebuke and correction. When somebody can't talk to you. Can people talk to you? Do your friends, do your family know that you can't be reasoned with? quit getting mad every time somebody tries to tell you something. Quit getting offended. There could be people in your life that see something and could really help you. But they already know your response. They already know what your reaction is going to be. And I know that if I breach that subject with that person, all that I'm doing is stirring up a hornet's nest. They're not going to listen. And by your attitude, you have cut yourself off from the wisdom that you could get from that person. You got to quit being so defensive and so easily offended. Be willing to learn from those who are underneath you. Die to yourself. And you can practice that the next time somebody rebukes you. Huh? No, that's heavy for tonight, I know. The scorner. And I don't know that we have a whole lot of scorners in our church. But you may know one. And for you young people, the lesson tonight is when your parent corrects you, somebody corrects you in a loving manner, accept it. Receive it. Learn from it. Grow from it. Be a better person for it. Because the verses I've given to you tonight from the book of Proverbs, you're headed to nowhere but trouble. Trouble if you scorn the instruction that you receive.